Man, guys, we in the book of John, we've covered the I Am's, and now we're on the miracles. There's technically, some people say there's only seven miracles in John. There's really eight. We're covering eight, but we're on miracle number seven. And miracle number seven today is Lazarus rising from the dead. Lazarus is risen from the dead. Now, what's crazy about this is when we did the I Am series, we ended it on Easter Sunday morning with, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's the context of Lazarus being risen from the dead. So we actually kind of covered this already. So what I'd like to do with you today is I'd like to take a little bit of a different spin on this, even though the miracle is the dead came back to life. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And this story has just proven to you and me that he takes a physical death and he resurrected him physically from the dead. And it's a beautiful picture of the Bible says we were all born in our trespasses and in our sins. We are spiritually dead. And so Jesus Christ gave his life and did all of the work. And because of Christ, we can have spiritual life. So that's what we took out of the story, is Jesus Christ resurrects the dead. And a lot of people feel like they're just dead. Well, yeah, you're born that way. Your spirit needs to be made alive. So I want you to know a couple things about Lazarus. Lazarus' name means whom God helps. That's what his name means. Whom God helps. There's two men in Scripture named Lazarus. Two. The first one is found in Luke chapter 16. And I think everybody would know this story. You're welcome to turn there if you want to. As soon as I start talking about it, you'll know it. In Luke chapter 16, it says in verse 20, Luke 16:20, it says, and there was a certain beggar. Well, verse 19 says there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. Then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And it says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. The wild thing about this story is that we see that Jesus Christ clearly says that one man lived great in this life and the other man suffered greatly in this life. But then when we face death here, it says that the one man was comforted and did very well and the other man now was suffering. And so this is the first Lazarus in the Bible. This is not the same guy that we find from Bethany that had two sisters named Mary and Martha. This is where we're going to be, is in John chapter 11. So what's interesting about this, though, is if you go to John chapter 11, and we start this story off in verse 1, it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Notice we start this story off. You know, the first Lazarus was a beggar. He was filled with sores. Like, his life was miserable. He obviously had some serious health issues. And now we find Lazarus number two. And when he pops up on the scene, the mention of him is that he is sick. And he is actually sick. Sick unto death, the Bible says. And so he was sick. And he, it says in verse 2, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with the ointment, wiped her feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Similar to the blind man. This sickness is going to be ultimately for what? The glory of God. This is, hey, hard pill to swallow. I don't know what you're going through today. It could be rotten to the core, but it's for God's glory. God's got a bigger picture planned here, and you're going to have to deal with that. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so this is the second Lazarus in the Bible. I guess I needed to point something out. The first one's a beggar and was sore. The second one was sick, and he was so sick that his sickness caused him to die. And of course, the beautiful part, we know the end of the story, Jesus' resurrection from the grave. But remember what Lazarus' name means? What's his name mean? Whom God helps. You know who God helps? Hurt people. People that don't have enough. People that have sores in their life, scars, people that are sick. That's who God helps. The problem with living in the Western part of the world, you might be having a bad month financially and things not be looking good for you in the Western part of the world. But if you compare yourself to the average man or woman on the globe, you're probably in the top 10%, maybe even 5% of wealth in the world. We're privileged people. Some of the reason that we don't cry out for help, we're just not needy enough. I'm responsible to take care of my own needs. I can do that. What, work extra hours? We start manipulating our schedule and our time. We'll handle this. The Western part of the world, very few people will hit this spot. Matter of fact, when people are on the side of the road and they're asking for food or need help, or our initial response, if everybody would be honest, is, I've seen documentaries before. That guy might be choosing to be on the side of the road. I've seen documentaries where some of those people are making $50,000 a year just begging. And we always think of that, don't we? I do. I'm not going to be honest with you. Our heart's usually not immediately filled with compassion. We always just think that he's probably just taking advantage. And what do? You're going to pull over and, you know, expose your family to this, you know, this type of thing. It's sad. But you know whom God helps? He helps the needy. The question this morning is, are we needy enough? Sometimes, like the Bible says in Revelation, we don't realize how poor, wretched, blind, and miserable and naked we are because we're arrogant. We're born just, that's the way it comes. That's our culture, you know. The first time in the New Testament you find help, it's actually a lady who has a daughter. And she has a teen daughter and discovers that her daughter is under the possession of the devil. Something that a doctor can't fix. And matter of fact, she wasn't even a Jew, and she goes to the Lord. And this is the story where the Lord just says, hey, you know, I'm here for the people of Israel. Well, people knew that Gentiles were considered like dogs. And so she said, Lord, but you know, even the dogs get to eat crumbs. I need some real help here. And she cries out, Matthew 15:25, Lord, help me. And gang, I want you to know something. She got the help she needed. Because the Lord always delivers on His promises. In Mark chapter 9, there's a guy, a similar situation. And the Lord just says, man, I can fix this, but do you believe? And the guy just said, man, I got to be honest, Lord. I'm struggling here. Lord, I believe, but could you please help my unbelief? And God helped him. Jesus Christ helped him in the middle of his unbelief. Psalms chapter 10, verse 14 says that our God is the helper of the fatherless. Has anybody ever watched that show, Last Chance You? It's on Netflix. Basically what it is it's usually poor youth, sometimes from the ghetto. They got an incredible amount of talent, but they don't have what it takes financially or even academically to go to college. So they play for like JUCO, like community colleges that have football teams. There's several of them in the nation that are known for taking troubled teams. And some of them got incredible talent. And you know what I've discovered watching it? And I'm just into season two. It's a great program, especially if you need to learn how to cuss, because it teaches that real well, you know. That's the only bad thing about it. It's a cussing show, man. They're all, you know, it's part of it. But other than that, like, it's clean. You ain't going to find any, like, dirty. It's about football and these boys developing and these coaches. And, you know, as you watch this thing, it's just really touching to watch it. And what I've discovered about the show is almost every one of these boys don't have a dad, or their dad's jailed, prisoned, or just not involved. And yet, studying for this message, you know, God says, I am the helper of the fatherless. What we need is we need believers in the way. We need believers introducing them, giving them good news of the gospel. And God says, where your parents will fail, I will pick you up. And I will be a father to you. He's the helper of the fatherless. We live in a culture, a lot of our problems right now are based around this. Fatherless homes, dads that are, some dads are there, but they're not present. They're not doing their job as the leader of the home. Well, I got news for you, man. Our God specializes in helping fatherless people. So don't be discouraged by that. You can stand up with pride and say, my gosh, my God has been my helper. And you get to the New Testament and find out he called your father. You're his son. You're his daughter. Isn't it beautiful? In Romans 8, the Bible says, as you learn to pray, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. If you don't have any infirmities, you don't need no help. I've noticed people that don't think they need help and cry out to the Lord. God will usually put them in a spot where they're out of control. There's something in their life that humanly can't be fixed. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but do some research on godly men in history. Godly pastors, missionaries. Do some research on that one. And let me tell you what, every single one of them has a major, major issue, infirmity, suffering, and trouble in their life. Something that they can't fix. And I know we're all tended at times like that. You tend to say, my gosh, why? Why me? Why do I have to be so needy? Why am I always having trouble? I don't get this. I'll tell you why. Because the Lord is your helper. Some people stand up with pride and say, look what I've built. Look what I've done. Look who I've become. You and me, hopefully we can stand up and just say, my gosh, I don't hardly bring anything to the table. The Lord has showed up for me. He has been my helper. He has sustained me. Matter of fact, there's a famous verse that people quote in Psalms 46:1, that he is a very present help in a time of trouble. So listen, gang, if you don't have like infirmities or some major trouble in your life right now, I'm just going to promise you something. I'm not out to give a discouraging message. This is actually an encouraging message about God being our helper. You will have a time of trouble. And it might just be for a time. But just if your life is going good right now, hey, praise the Lord. That's awesome. But the time of trouble will come because we all experience it. But guess what? As believers, we have a present help in the time of trouble. Those of you that struggle with anxiety, now you're thinking, oh man, I'm scared. I'm so scared because what's going to happen to me? I know you're going to suffer if you follow the Lord. And when's it going to drop on me? No, we don't live that way. Because that's when your helper's going to show up. Right? That's when our God is going to do His best work. Hebrews chapter 4 says, we come boldly to the throne of grace. You know why we go boldly to the throne of heaven? We go boldly to the throne of heaven because that's a place of grace. That's where we obtain mercy. And that's where my dad sits. My dad sits there. And I can go up, and the Bible says you will find grace to help in your time of need. We're in our culture, we're not known anymore for praying on our knees. And you know why? we don't have enough trouble that's dropped us to our knees. I'm not saying I want it in my life, but I do want the Lord to show up for me. There's a lot of people in Scripture where God shows up and helps. There's a whole list of them in the Bible. And I like Paul. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1. He's telling how bad ministry is. The work of the Lord is tough. He's being beat up on all fronts. He starts talking about these people at the church of Corinth, and he goes, they were helpers of our joy. I like that, because we can actually, as the body of Christ, be like Jesus Christ. God is the helper of people that have infirmities. We can play a part in that. Our brother Ahazer, he needs a van, and he's doing the work of the Lord. He really does. We know that. And so as a church, we're like, hey, can we help this guy? Yes. We're going to be helpers of your joy, dude. It's hard enough living for the Lord and suffering. And boy, they really suffer there paycheck-wise. You know, now, well, you know what we're going to do? I promise you. Guys, he has no clue I'm doing this. I never told him we'd like to do this. I never even told him anything like that. We're just going to bless him and show up and bam and say, you know what? God is going to get, the Lord is your helper, dude. You cried out to him. And all of a sudden, God burned our hearts to say, you can help this guy. You guys can be a helpers of the joy over here. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, it's beautiful. Guys, everybody look at John chapter 11. And let's go down to verse 34. Well, 33. I don't know where to start this at. I got some points here, but my points don't take place a few verses down. But you see, Lazarus now is, by this point in the story, and we've just covered this at Easter, but he's like dead. They've already buried him, and everybody's now going through mourning. And so what happens here is, if you're in John chapter 11, and you see like in verse 33... when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, speaking of Mary, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and it says, he was troubled. And I really like this, that Jesus was troubled. He wasn't troubled, he was troubled at her weeping and her emptiness. And it says in verse 34, and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And it says in verse 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. I like this. You know what this tells me? This tells me that Hebrews 4:15 is true. When it says we have a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I want you to know that. Your trouble, your infirmities in your life. And some people say, oh my gosh, you know, like we're all about the facts of the Bible. But some of you inside, nobody knows how you feel. Nobody knows how you feel at nighttime. Nobody knows why you can't sleep real well. Or you wake up and you're always got this anxious and you're troubled. There is one who knows. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, he is touched. It touches God's heart, and he's touched with the very feelings of your infirmities. And some people might look and say, yeah, that lady's all troubled about that. She don't know what trouble is. You know, hey, it's relative. Isn't it? You might have been through much more in your life. Maybe it's because you needed much more. Maybe God knew you could handle it. And God knows what she can handle. And you know how much we can handle? We're all of us in trouble. We need a helper. The Lord wants to come to our help. I just love this, that Jesus Christ shows himself very vulnerable and cries. And I want you to know, guys, like Proverbs in the Psalms says actually about him holding a tear in a jar. He cares. You ever go to the Lord as you're praying? I've done this before and I'm just like, hey, God, I got a lot of good things in my life, and I'm praying about something. And if I told you maybe exactly what I was praying about, you might just say, that's ridiculous. There's people around the world that ain't eating food. You're praying about that? Like you really need that?
God, I feel a little bit ridiculous asking this, but
our helper says, don't feel ridiculous. Don't you guys sit around the dinner table with your children and you're all talking and somebody just says, you know what I've been really looking at lately? there's a pair of shoes here I really like. And well, like, you need another pair of shoes? No. This ain't about really, I guess, a need. It's just something I wanted. I don't know. As a dad, I care about what my children, not just what they need. I care about what they want, too. Ain't that what Christmas time's about? We all like playing Santa Claus. What is that about? I'm just telling you here today, God cares. We're failing here a little bit in our prayer on Wednesday nights. We are praying big things. We're praying for big trauma. We pray for missionaries. We pray for our church in certain areas, you know. You know where we're lacking in prayer, guys? We're lacking it. We're lacking somebody standing up going, hey, guys, I needed new tires for my car. I didn't have the money. So I did this. I manipulated this here. And I'm praying that God show up because my power bill's due in 6 days. And I'm not saying we'd pay the power bill. That's not the point of it. The whole point is the Lord's your helper. He cares deeply about what you care about. It don't have to be the big things like deaths on the doorstep. That's massive. Everybody calls on the Lord about that. We don't have anybody walking in just saying, hey guys, we're having some trouble with our son right now. Here's what's going on. And I've got some real anxious fears here. And some people are going to sit around like, they think that's trouble? It is trouble. It's trouble for them. This kid's a couple decisions away from being a wreck and a rebel. We're lacking that a little bit. Hey guys, he cares about the feelings of our infirmities. Let's be better about being vulnerable and bringing it to him. Does that sound good as a plan? When we come into prayer, not this week, it'll be the next week we come in. Let's be vulnerable about that and say, man, I got a prayer request. We always got an agenda. Would you interrupt the agenda? Somebody interrupt the agenda. That's what we need. And walk right in and just say, hey guys, I'm super stressed about something. And throw it down there. That's what makes prayer. People don't realize that. I hate meetings. I've always hated meetings. Every place I've ever worked, and they call for like a meeting, company meeting, you know, we all gather. I don't like things like that. But let me tell you what makes a great meeting. People don't realize. You know what makes a great meeting? Trouble. It does. Conflict. If you have meetings all the time and there's never any conflict, you're doing nothing. You got to have a little conflict or somebody that disagrees. You got to have 3 yeses and 2 noes sometimes. And that makes you work through the process. And you know what we do when we're in that position? Oh, God, we're not really sure what way you want us to go here. God, we're asking for your help. Would you show up for us? It makes for the best meetings. You know, your marriage needs a good fight. The making up is fantastic. That's what you need. You ever see those couples that, yeah, we never fight? It's because you never talk. That's why you don't have no problems. What do you mean you never fight? Yeah, we got a perfect relationship. You live out there in the shed and she lives inside the house. That's why you're all good, right? Hey, let me give you some good things. I got some really, really good things. 6 things I want to point out on this story. I just wanted to point out that Jesus wept. Jesus knows, but watch these details. I want you to see a growth process in somebody that's been resurrected from the grave. This is what I want you to see today. John chapter 11, it says, Jesus shows up. It was a cave with a stone on it, just like you imagine the resurrection of Jesus being. It says in verse 39, watch this guys, in verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Of course, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God? And it says in verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard of me. Number one, I want you to notice the stone was rolled away, but Lazarus was still inside. Do you see that? What kind of point's that? Here's the point. Jesus said, God, thank you for hearing me. The stone's rolled away. Okay. The work's been done. Now it's on Lazarus. Because what we're going to find out is Jesus is getting ready to say in verse 43, what's he say? Lazarus, come forth. It's a door like that can't, you know, that's why people are amazed at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Like, who can move that stone? This is massive. There's a dead guy in there, you know? Like, it's a serious deal. So the stone's taken away, but Lazarus is still inside. I guess I want you to know, folks, Lazarus is still inside. Jesus says, come forth. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, upon hanging on the cross, at the very end, he said, it is what? Finished. I've done the work. 3 days later, the resurrection takes place, but he's already done the work. I guess I want you to know there's a finished work here that we're dealing with, but we have got people in this room this morning. You've never came forth yet. The door's open. Jesus has done the work. Or the Revelation 3 passage where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's there. He's on the other side. But the Bible sets that story up in such a way that you got to respond. Now that story is actually in Revelation 3:20. That passage is actually for the church. But Jesus Christ can resurrect the dead. God quickens the dead, the Bible says. So I guess I want to put a shout out to some of you. Some of you were unsure if you know the Savior. We're unsure, but today respond to Him. Why don't you respond? The stone's rolled away. The dead's still inside. Come forth. Number two, if you look at verse 44, well, verse 43, he says, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. The second thing I want to point out today in this message on this miracle is this. Lazarus comes out. He's alive, but he's still bound. Do you see it? The first point is the stone's away and he's still inside. The second point is he's alive but still bound. He's still got grave clothes. He's still mummified, man. So he comes out alive, but he's still bound. Did you know what the Bible says in Hebrews 12:1? We are supposed to, the Bible says, go there. Hebrews 12:1. Everybody go to Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, watch this. We're in the middle of Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run the race with patience, the race that's set before us. The Lord has to tell him, lay aside the weight, every weight that easily besets us. Lazarus comes out all bound up, and Jesus is like, okay, somebody loose him. So some of us have spiritual life inside, but you're still bound in sin. In the Bible, this is kind of a simple principle. And notice, it's sin easily besets you. It besets all of us very easily. It needs laid aside. You can't walk around, you know, if Lazarus is going to lift the wrist, we get to chapter 12 and he's at the dinner table with all these people. What are people going to be like? You know, first of all, you know, imagine how that smelled. He's got to get those off there. Anybody, what's people going to do and sit there? My gosh. Hey, Lazarus, you look homeless, dude. Take off the grave clothes. Just want to encourage those of you that are alive in Christ. It's time to get them grave clothes off. It's time to 2 Timothy, Jason Cox, man, last night, he busted into the rescue mission. And this is one of the verses he used. The foundation of God is sure. Therefore, ye that name the name of Christ, you depart from iniquity. The Lord's done everything possible for us to have victory. Guys, there has to be a departing. I have to leave some things behind. I have to take off these clothes. Wow. It can be done, or Jesus wouldn't have said it. To be alive but still bound. That's weird. Yeah, that's Halloween is what that is. That's creepy. We only tolerate it one day a year when kids walk around looking like a mummy or a ghost. If somebody did that the next day, what would you say? Hey, dude, you're creeping everybody out. Get out of here. That's weird. What would teachers do at school? All these mummies show up to school. Okay, that you're going home. This ain't going to fly here, right? Check this out in verse 44. It says, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. But here's what I like next. Here's your third point. Notice it says that Jesus didn't say unto Lazarus, hey, take off those grave clothes, pal. It says Jesus said unto them, the Jews that were standing around, loose him and let him go. He said unto them. It was their responsibility to help him get out of the grave clothes. It's a good picture of discipleship. This is a great picture of growth. There's people in our church that are bound in sin. And I know it says, hey, you need to depart from iniquity. Don't just tell somebody that. Could you help? Could you help loose them a little bit? That's what Jesus said. Remember Galatians 6:2? Hey, would you bear one another's burdens? Okay, let's practically say this. Right now, whose burdens are you bearing? Name it. Name a guy. Name a girl. Name a family. Name a situation that you're just like, I'm helping them get their grave clothes off. They're struggling. Man, we all should have a story. We should all have somebody. Romans 15:1 says, hey, you that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. You're stronger than she is. You're stronger than he is. So right now, you know what you're going to do? Help them. Help them. I don't know about you. I'm usually more inclined to pull over if somebody's got a tire issue, changing a tire or something. You know, you look over and you see a man get out in a pickup truck and you're just like, he's all right. You know, he'll be fine. He's got a cell phone too. You know, but then, or you see some lady over there. There's kids in the car. There's a grandma. Maybe a grandpa. Yeah, you that are stronger, bear some infirmities there. Hey, we don't know. Granny could be a creeper, you know. I mean, you don't know today. It's actually a grandpa probably dressed like a grandma. And they call her them. Isn't that weird? Hey, you that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. That's what you do, right? I love Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 where Paul says, we are late when you labor, laboring to support the weak. Man, we're the church, man, of the living God, right? Loosing. A lot of times we look at people and just be like, that's ridiculous. Why is that guy living that way? Look at that guy. That's a messed up Christian there, isn't it? Yeah. Do you hear the voice of Jesus today? Hey guys, listen up. Loose him. Help him. Help her. Get out of that situation. Help her to get out of those grave clothes, right? Even, yep, depart from iniquity. I believe that. But he comes out, he's alive, but he's still bound. How many people are alive in Christ? But you're looking and dressed like you're dead. Church, let's loose people, man. Let's go. If you keep reading this story, it's kind of beautiful what takes place. I need to jump to John chapter 12. And it says in verse 1, then Jesus was 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus, watch this, was one of them that sat at the table with him. Isn't that beautiful? So guys, I've already given some points here, right? Some simple points like, hey, the stone was rolled away, but he was still inside. Right? No, respond. Those of you that don't know Christ, respond to the voice of Jesus and come forth. He's done all the work. Come forth, right? The next thing you see is he's alive but still bound. Hey, Christian, what's got you bound up? What's got you bound up? Now, Miralax is not going to help. You need another believer to say, dude, we got to do something here. And that's the third point. Jesus said to them, loose him. That's why we're doing a parenting series talking about teens. It takes the village, man. Nobody has all these answers. Some of us are in some deep water, you know. We need some help, right? Yeah. And now here we see Lazarus. in John chapter 12, it says, yeah, Lazarus raised from the dead there. And it says, but he sat at the table. He was one of them that sat at the table. I want you to know something. He saved some believers, obviously helped get him cleaned up. He's going through discipleship learning, changing his behavior, his attitude. So people are helping loosen the grave clothes off. And now he's sitting very presentable, but he's at the supper table, man. He's got a place at the table. Guys, Jesus is coming in. This is going to be the dinner time where they come in and break the box of ointment and put him on. Lazarus is there. Now, all the religious disciples, of course, they flip out and they're like, why are you spending all that expensive perfume? That could have been sold and given to the poor. Lazarus don't say any of that. Lazarus is just sitting back. Remember, he was the one that stinketh. He's enjoying the odor in the room because he remembers when he had death all over him. He remembers being alive, coming out of there, and still not very presentable. Guys, help the dude out. He needs loosed. Now he's got a place at the table. Gang, I want you to know something. Once you get saved and once you get the grave clothes off, you have a place at the table of the Lord. It's called fellowship. You'll give people gifts. Sometimes you'll help them. You say hi to a neighbor. But man, when you just say, hey man, we'd like to have you guys for dinner. Want to come sit at the table? You're in, man. Families don't do this much anymore. If you're so busy you can't sit around the dinner table, you are ruining relationships. I mean, destroying them. This is the place where we break bread, look at each other's faces. We talk about things that are so important and some things that are not so important. There's a story in 2 Samuel 9. David, after the family of Saul, and Saul's dead now, David wanted to bless them. And David just says, can I do any good to the house of Saul? Does anybody remember the story of Mephibosheth? He was crippled, one of Saul's sons. And you know what David said? I want you to look at one verse if you want to go back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel in your Bible, go back to 2 Samuel chapter 9. This is a beautiful story. And David wanted to show kindness in verse 7. And so he found this guy. And he found Mephibosheth. It says in the middle, like verse 10, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now it says in look at verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded a servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat, I love this word here, he ate continually at the king's table. And he was lame on both of his feet, meaning he was carried to the table every day. Every meal somebody carried Mephibosheth to the table. And I love this story because it's you and me. We're seated at a place where we don't belong. We get to go to the king's table. That's why Revelation just says, man, if you'll open the door in Revelation 3:20, I'll come in unto you and sup with you. You sup at a table. We're going to share a meal together. This is not just inviting a neighbor over for dinner. No, this is finding a cripple and say, you eat at my house every day. Every meal you're there. Guys, we got a place at the table. This is called fellowship. And don't forget the word continually. We've got to continually go to this table or we're going to be malnourished. Lazarus was kicking back. He's got a spot at the table. He's at the table. I love it, man. 1 Corinthians 10 says, we can partake of the Lord's table, but you can't do the devil's table. Or if you want to sit at the devil's table, you ain't going to the Lord's table. Hey, you can't drink of the Lord's cup and the devil's cup. Make your choice. Hey, guys, I'm just telling you what, man. The food's good at this table. You got a place there. I love it. And I love it because God sets this whole thing up. So our fellowship every day is we go to the Lord's table. You got a place there. If you don't know the Lord, you don't go there. If you're bound in your grave clothes, you ain't sitting at the table. Last night we were at the rescue mission. You know, they called a guy out. Scott, you see me afterwards. You hear me? And then Scott's like, wah, wah, wah. And he's like, you mouth to me, we'll kick you out of this. Like, it got real intense there for a moment. And I just kind of laugh. And afterwards, I go up to the guy, the head guy there. We're chatting a little bit. You know what he said to me? He goes, dude, I just got people here that, like, they won't bathe. This is a grown man. Everybody around there is saying he's stinky. He's like, yeah, I got to get on him. You know, I'd like to get him to bathe. I bet he'd bathe if you tell him he couldn't eat. What in God's name are you guys doing here? You're enabling stinky people? I mean, our job is to help him take off the grave clothes, you know? That's what you do. Get the guy a little bit fixed up a bit. And give him a place at the table. I don't know whatever happened there, but when I left, there was some rattling going on. I was like, what's that? And the guy said, our water pipes do that. They rattle real loud like that. And I was like, that's a good sign. Scott's in the shower, you know? The place at the table. Praise the Lord for the place at the table. Amen? I hope you're encouraged today. You got a place at the table. Let me give you one other thing here. Well, two other things, but chapter 12, we see that he had a place at the table. Well, the spikenard comes out. We see all this, and I'm just want to go down to verse 9, because it said this. Much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. A lot of people wanted to come into this vicinity, because Lazarus was on display. See, he was dead and everybody knew he was dead. Most of these people were at his funeral. Now he's alive. So he had a testimony. Now people were there, of course, Jesus, but they're like, we got to see this. Sometimes the validity of Jesus in Christianity is going to show when the dead lady shows up alive for dinner. Guys, this is your testimony. Hey, by the way, Jason and Jenny Cox are teaching next door. She spoke to the ladies last night and he spoke to the dudes. And you know what both of them did last night? They just did the Lazarus thing. Jason Cox stood in front of everybody and goes, I just wanted to tell you a little bit of who I was. He told this story and he said some things. I was like, ooh, that's nasty. That's nasty. He was telling all these things in his life, like just got really vulnerable. And he just said, you know what he said? He goes, but now, I got a firm foundation. I'm a different man, guys. And I was like, my gosh, that's the Lazarus story. Everybody in this room has a testimony. And if you're one of those raunchy women or raunchy men, and I mean this, that you got a real bad testimony, like, oh, no, you don't understand. You don't understand who I was and what I did. It's shameful, and in the right circles, I wouldn't bring it up. Well, I'll tell you right now, if you'll tell people that you were dead, you were once dead and now you're alive, it's because of you people are going to get to witness and see Jesus. This is exactly the position Lazarus is in here. Acts 1:8 says, we shall be witnesses. Yeah, be a witness, man. So if your testimony is really rank, I'm just telling you, a lot of people would listen and hear and perk up because some of us, you know, don't always have those nasty testimonies. And don't feel bad about it. Praise the Lord, you know. Seriously. Praise the Lord to say, man, God spared me that for sure. You got your own set of issues, I know that. But we're all, you know, new creatures. I said new, not nude. We're new creatures. So like, you know, I'm like, guys, seriously. You got to come over and meet my daughter. Oh yeah, hair. Got hair everywhere. She's like a werewolf. What? That's strange. Seriously, we've enrolled her in the circus. Because everybody will want to come and see the bearded lady, the lady that's a werewolf. Hey, come see Snake Man. You ever see that at the Prime Beef Festival? Give that guy 10 tickets. He's going to open a curtain. You get to go in there and there's a guy that's a half a guy and half a snake. Isn't that incredible? Everybody wants to see the creature shows, man. You want to see the freak shows for sure. I had a tadpole I caught as a kid. I put it in this little Cool Whip dish. Everybody came in and says, hey, you got to see this tadpole. And the reason why is one day all of a sudden I had some little things sticking out. And I was like, nope, there's four of them. That ain't what you think it is. I think them are going to be legs. That thing grew and all of a sudden this thing became a frog. And it was a frog with a tail. The tail hadn't fallen off yet. I was showing everybody. I was like, it was a tadpole. And
like, it's morphed into a frog. Like, I showed everybody. People that are into gardening and flowers, when you go over, they want to show people. Why? Look at this. Because this was nothing but a pile of dirt. And now look at this beauty right here. There's growth here. You just want to show people that. That's how we should be with our testimonies. I don't care if you're a tadpole or a rose, man. When there's growth there, hey, man, I want to introduce you to my kids. Why would people do that? Because I love them. They're one of my treasures in my life. I just want to share it with people. Hey, you got to see my grandkids. People always want to talk about their grandkids. Watch their grandkids play ball. And they talk about all this stuff. They're proud of their grandkids, you know. And they're wanting to show them, this is part of my legacy and this is my family. And I love these guys. I'm really proud of them. I just wanted you to see them and meet them. Man, guys, we got a testimony. If I was dead and now I'm alive, share that thing. I got something here that's growing. You know, and I'm not talking, you can go to the doctor once and say, hey, doc, I got a weird growth right here. I want to show you something. And I won't show you guys because it would disgust you. But something's growing. Yeah, put them on display. Hey, can we take pictures of this? You know you're in bad shape when you go to the, you ever been to the doctor's office? And they go out and the doctor comes in and goes, would you mind if I brought a couple of student nurses in? Because I was just like, come on in, man. I got something to show, you know? I got something going on here. Just want to encourage everybody. Put it on display. That's what you do. And I don't care what you're wearing. It's your testimony. It's the change. So Lazarus was at the table, and people wanted to come around, and it just wasn't because of Jesus. Guys, listen. People can't see Jesus. He's not here. But if you know Him, He's in you. And they can see you. If more people know that Jesus could raise people from the dead, if more people would know that, well, dude, you don't understand. You got addicts out there, people that are jacked up. Whenever I see you see a young girl out there that's pregnant, man, my mom is pregnant young. It gives me an in. I can go right up and just say, hey, sweetie, I noticed you were pregnant. I want you to know something, man. Me and my brother, we had a very young mom. And you know, it just gives you a little opening in the door. I go to a restaurant. We were in Ohio, and there was a bald girl sitting at a table. She didn't look super healthy, skinny bald girl. Hey, I know what that's like. I could tell by the look on her face that girl got cancer. I didn't even hesitate. I know how that feels. I went right over. I got to touch her bald head. And this family welcomed me. And I was able to, I pointed over, Josie was sitting over there, and I said, see that girl over there? That's my daughter. And she was bald just like you. The mom tears up, the family. So I got to tell a story. You see what I'm telling is, there was death, and now we got life. Giving them a little bit of hope. This is what our testimony can do. Let me give you one last point, and I'm done. It says in verse 10. John chapter 12 and verse 10. It says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Yeah, it was powerful. People's lives were being changed, and they started cluing in onto Jesus. And it was the religious leaders that wanted him dead. Isn't that funny? It's almost comical to me that people would buy into religion like this. The guy's life has totally been transformed. We had a funeral for Lazarus. And now we gave him another birth certificate. He came back to life. Freak, freak, freak. Look what Jesus can do. And the religious leaders said, we need to kill this guy. Would have been real funny if the story, if I was writing the Bible and God said, we can't have you do that. If I was writing the Bible, you know what I'd have did? I'd have put this on display and had him kill him and had him come back to life. Like, I'd have done it again, you know. I'd have been like, ooh, you know, all the people that killed Jesus. Can you imagine 3 days later, he was walking the street and all those witnesses and people from the graves that came up too and all the funerals they'd just done? I mean, it freaked people's worlds out because I'm alive, because people expected you to be dead. By the way, we got a person in this church, in this room right now, that I had a visitor come to this church. So a while back when they came and just said, man, how long have they been here? I said, oh, a little while. They're like, I'm shocked they're in church. They remembered this person from way back when. They're just like, it's amazing, isn't it? We've seen them saved. We've seen them baptized. And now they're growing. Grave clothes are coming off. They're different. Isn't it beautiful? Yes, it's beautiful. So my last point, I'm saying all this good stuff. It's great to sit at the table. It's great to be on display and share your testimony. The last thing is going to be this. I just read it in verse 10. Hey, guys. Your Christianity's, yeah, you want people to love you and think you're awesome. You got a great story. Wouldn't you love to be Lazarus on display, pointing people to Jesus? It's great, isn't it? But let me tell you what else it's going to bring. There's going to be a whole host of people that hate you. Because when they're dead and you're shining, they'll despise you. I had a little bit of friction yesterday. I was at this wedding thing, and there happened to be a pastor there, and I know this pastor. And I kind of got my feelings hurt. So I went up, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? You know, you thought like we do the same thing, you know. So I go up, and I'm trying to give him the secret handshake and all that, and he ain't having it. So I just go back to the table, and I don't know. I don't know what was going on there, but I just thought, and then, I'd been studying this passage this week, so I was just like, I guess it's okay for religious leaders not to like you. It's okay. And when I hit that dance floor, they're going to know who's got life in them. You know? That's how this thing works. Religious people should want you dead. They should not like you very well. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it's going to offend religion. You see that? Let's be hated by religion. Let's be loved by the people that have a real, genuine relationship with Christ. When people tell me that, oh, I can't stand church, I hate organized religion, I kind of do too. Because I know what they mean. That stuff's gross, isn't it? All of a sudden somebody has new life and you're sitting around wishing them to be dead. Wow. Jesus said it this way. Yep, the stone that the builders rejected, that's the one the whole foundation's built upon. Right there. When the builders reject it, the Lord says, I'm doing something great with it. This is why those of us that suffer, we get to reign with Him one day. Isn't that going to be a beautiful place to be? So you got it. I gave 6 points today. I hope you got them all. Here they are. Hope you wrote them down. I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word. God, I'm always blown away at just the depth in these stories and how it speaks to my heart and into my life. God, I want to pray for the Maple City Baptist Church. I want to pray, Lord, we need your help, God. We've got needy people here. Lord, we've got infirmities. We've got needs as a whole as a church. God, we're running out of resources. Our teachers are tired. Lord, the money's running low. We're pretty confident today that, like your word says, you're going to be our helper. We're asking for your help today. God, I pray like this story with Lazarus, I pray all these things would be a part of us this week, that we would all be a part of either getting our grave clothes off or helping others get theirs off. God, I pray that we'd be on display this week like Lazarus was. I pray, and Lord, this miracle story, I pray that we can be the miracle for somebody this week. Lord, help us not to be offended when the religious people don't like us. I pray we leave here today almost expecting it. Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to be different to see real change take place in the world. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.